Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Wednesday, eve of the NFL draft in sunny Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and Sirius XM Channel 83. Joy Taylor's here. I've got Joel Klatt 1 hour from now. Calais Campbell of the Ravens. I have them as the best team in the NFL going forward. Greg Cosell, Nick Wright later this hour. Joy, how are you on a Wednesday? We're very, very close to the draft.
I am great. I'm excited for the draft. And, man, the NFL is just the gift that keeps on giving, huh?
Wow.
Gronk?
So Gronk, according to Ian Rappaport on WEEI Radio in Boston this morning, it was planned all along. Gronk wanted to follow Tom Brady. Gronk wasn't done with football. He was done with Belichick, much like Tom Brady. Not done with football, done with the system, the culture, and the rigid nature of Bill Belichick. This is not about just productivity. Gronk's past his prime, struggles to stay healthy. This is about comfort. When little kids go on the road, they take maybe a blanket or a teddy bear. Gronk is a 6 foot, 6 and a half pacifier for Tom Brady. He's given him comfort on a road trip for a couple of years, maybe just one. He also can spread the gospel of Tom. I've traveled cross-country 3 times. I always take somebody with me. Why? Because I don't want to waste any time. Somebody else can explain what I'm about. The demeanor, what he likes, what Tom doesn't like, what are his habits, what does he expect? Gronk can spread it through the locker room as Tom is memorizing the playbook and figuring out the idiosyncrasies of Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. And now, also, they have 3 tight ends in Tampa. O.J. Howard is the most talented but the most expensive, and they'll probably shop him and get a draft pick, 3rd or potentially 4th rounder. But it should be noted, do not downplay this. This matters. This is the Miami Heat team with LeBron adding a guy there, a Mike Miller there. Remember that Miami Heat team, and LeBron and Tom Brady have a Pied Piper effect. Veterans will take a pay cut, move to Florida, no state tax, fun head coach Bruce Arians, play with a goat, get on TV. It helps your brand. Don't kid yourself. Every time Miami would go out and get like a Mike Miller, and you'd be like, "Nah, what's it matter?" All Mike Miller needed was one good quarter in a playoff game. Hit three threes in a playoff game. Boom, that's the difference. Shane Battier didn't need to be great in a 7-game series. He needed to have a dominating half. He needed to get red hot once. LeBron carried the team. D. Wade was necessary. Chris Bosh had to be big. Everything else, you got little bits and pieces. Can Gronk 2 times next year, in big games against one against the Saints and one against Atlanta, be a matchup nightmare in the red zone and have a touchdown? That's all. That's worth the $10 million. If Gronk can make 2 big red zone catches, one against the Saints and one against the Falcons, and it helps them win, that's why Fox bet this morning moved the Super Bowl odds up for Tampa to 4th in the NFL. It's a little incremental increase. It matters. Don't downplay this thing. Win total, 9 to 9.5. That's a different bet, right? NFC, now currently number 3 in the NFC. It matters. When Miami was building, you had 3 guys that were the cornerstones. LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. And then you had a good coach. But everybody else mattered. You know, everybody else, Mike Miller, bang, bang, 2 big 3s against the Spurs. Shane Battier, a great half. That's all that matters. Once you get the stars in place, same with Golden State. Same with Golden State. It wasn't all about Durant. You add a guy here, a guy takes a pay cut there. Oh, David West got us two big rebounds in that game. And I think, and by the way, the Buccaneers, this came down, according to Rick Stroud, the Buccaneers are happy to have O.J. Howard, the tight end, line up with Gronk in two tight end formations, unless they're, quote, blown away with a trade offer. Translation, please call us. We are taking incoming calls in Tampa. And never forget this. Here's another little thing. Is that in the last six games for Tampa last year, I am a huge fan of Todd Bowles. I thought he was excellent with the Jets, but he just wasn't a head coach. He was a great vice president. In the last six games last year, Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator for Tampa, in that division, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, in that division, last six games, Tampa led the NFL in sacks and fewest yards allowed per play. This is a real team. Tom did not end up in a dumpster fire rebuild. You got an experienced coach, an improving defense, great weapons, and now you just added your 6'6" pacifier, Gronk. Even Fox Bet, the numbers are moving, and they should. Is he worth half? Is his comfort? And but remember, never forget this. How big Gronk was the year they won the Super Bowl against the Rams. Remember the catch he had against Kansas City? The game-changing catch. Remember the catch he had against the Rams in the Super Bowl? He had two catches in those two games. Both were vital for New England winning close. All right, let's go to the other side of this. New England got a fourth-round pick for a retired player. Only New England. That's like trading a week-old bagel and getting a sirloin. It's ridiculous. They got a fourth-rounder for a retired player. New England wants a quarterback. We've been saying this. Why are they letting their kicker go and their linebackers go? And they didn't even wait on this. I'm reading the story this morning. Belichick was like, yep, have him. Go ahead, take him. Just give us a draft pick. Why? Because New England wants a quarterback. The only question, and it will be answered tomorrow, do they want one of these guys, or are they willing to wait for Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields next year? We'll know the answer by tomorrow. I have been banging on this. Peter King reported earlier this week they like Justin Herbert. I like Justin Herbert more than everybody else. I think the Chargers move up to get Justin Herbert. But just ask yourself. This is why you got to keep your eye out. So New England now, by getting another pick, has 22 picks in the next 2 years. Because they're going to get three compensatory picks next year. They got 12 this year. So they have 12 now, 10. That's just what they have now. You also know they're willing to get rid of any player outside of Stephon Gilmore to get more picks. Why do they have all those picks? Because they want to bundle them and move up. Now, my speculation has been they're going to be average this year, a 7-9 team in an improved division, and close enough next year to give somebody seven picks to get one of those two quarterbacks. Maybe the Jags get Trevor Lawrence, they go get Justin Fields. But. Never forget, is Belichick saying this? You know how, like, when you work at a place a long time, you have a lot of, like, relationships? Like, if you worked in the pharmacy industry for 30 years or, any business, you're working at 30 years, you have a lot of contacts. I mean, Joy and I have worked in the media for a lot of years. You just know a lot of people. Never forget this. If New England, because everything's about relationships in life. If New England wants to move up, they have 12 picks. They have a lot of draft capital. And Belichick will move off anybody except Stephon Gilmore, the corner. I think he really would stay with him. Other than that, they'd move off anybody to get more picks. Well, Colin, Cincinnati's going to take Joe Burrow. Yeah. And Washington is probably going to take, Colin, they're probably going to take Chase Young. Yeah. But the number three team is Detroit. The GM and the coach are former Patriots. They could sure use six picks. New England's got 12. Well. What about, so what? Oh, Belichick drafted Cliff Kingsbury. Arizona's got the eighth pick. Relationship. Belichick called the Jags owner and recommended Doug Marrone be the head coach. Jags have the ninth pick. San Francisco, Belichick, Mike Shanahan, lot of respect. They already worked a deal. Belichick did the Niners a solid. They have two first-round picks. Think about this. This is crazy, Joy. The teams in this draft, the coach at the number three team, the number four team, and the number five team are former Patriots. They got all sorts of draft capital and all sorts of relationship. Three, four, and five teams, former Patriot coaches. The eighth pick, that the coach there, Belichick drafted him. The ninth team, Belichick got the head coach a job. Just saying, folks, New England is shredding talent. They're letting their kicker go. Jamie Collins go. Van Noy go. Gronk, take him. And they're not replacing him. Why didn't New England take one of – they don't have a tight end. Tampa's got three. Why didn't they just take a tight end? They don't want a tight end. They wanted a draft pick. They have now three tight ends. O.J. Howard, his backup, Gronk. They need a tight end. This is not a good tight end draft. There's like two anybody likes. New England's like, nah, just give us another pick. 22, next 2 years. They're shedding talent. So we'll know by tomorrow. Either New England's moving up tomorrow to the three spot with a bunch of former Patriots, Joe Judge, Giants. I mean, they'll make deals with anybody. You know Belichick. He moves. He's a mover and shaker. He may whiff on some draft picks, but you go look at his history. He'll move up. He'll move down. He is not the Bengals. He is wildly active on draft days.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So I would like to, because this is we live in the world of misinformation and affirmation. Nobody wants information, right? So people think I don't like Joe Burrow. Yes, I do. I have him as a B-plus prospect. That is a higher-rated prospect than I had Deshaun Watson, who I thought was a B because I didn't like his – I didn't think he was a great thrower of the football, and it's been proven that Deshaun's not a great thrower of the football. He's a great athlete. He's getting better at it, but he's inconsistent. Burrow's a better thrower of the football. So I have Burrow as a higher-rated prospect than I did Deshaun Watson, and Deshaun's been a lot of what I think, which is an amazing athlete and a winner, good enough to overcome some dysfunction, but he can't win a lot of playoff games because even as great as he is, there's just too many holes for Houston. And now let's go to Cincinnati. I think Joe Burrow is a B-plus prospect. I do not think he is good enough to overcome the Bengals. I think he's good enough to win some games. He'll make the Bengals better, there's no question. But there's a reason John Elway refused to play for the first team that was going to draft him. And there's a reason Andrew Luck's no longer in the league. And those guys are better prospects than Burrow. You just can't overcome awful roster, owner, this, that. You can't. And I mean, again, Elway would not go to the first team that was going to draft him, so he went to Denver, who, by the way, the Bolin family, great owners, who built a great business. But just think about this. Last year, there were 23 Pro Bowlers in the AFC North. The Bengals had one. Cleveland had three times more. Baltimore had 13 times more. Steelers had six times more. So I thought to myself, here, if I did a starting offense and defense in the AFC North, that's the Steelers, the Ravens, the Browns, the Bengals, here's who would start. Quarterback Lamar Jackson. Running back Nick Chubb. Receivers Odell Beckham and Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm sorry, A.J. Green has been hurt the last 2 years. Tight end Mark Andrews of the Ravens. Ronnie Stanley, left tackle Ravens. Left guard from the Browns. Center from the Steelers. Right guard, right tackle, Steelers, Browns. David DeCastro, Jake Conklin. Jack Conklin, who's, by the way, new for the Browns. Not a single Bengal. Not one. By the way, Justin Tucker, kicker, Ravens. So you don't have the special team guy of note. Nobody in the offense. Defense. Edge rushers, Miles Garrett Brown, TJ Watt Steelers. Interior, first Bengal, Geno Atkins. Also Cameron Hayward of the Steelers. Linebackers, there's a bunch of them. Bud Dupree, Devin Bush, Matt Judon Ravens, Marlon Humphrey Ravens. Defensive backs, Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, Minka Fitzpatrick, Earl Thomas, Ravens, Steelers. Blah, 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 blah. One Bengal. One Bengal. Oh, by the way, coaches. Tomlin, Super Bowls. Harbaugh, Super Bowls. Bengals coach, no Super Bowls. Owners, Rooney, Steve Bisciotti, way better in Baltimore and Pittsburgh. General managers, does anybody draft better than Pittsburgh? Maybe Baltimore? So forget the owner disparity. Forget the roster disparity. Forget the coach disparity. Forget the executive disparity. Just look around. Can Joe Burrow overcome that? No. The Bengals have drafted five quarterbacks all-time first round. None have ended up with a winning record. And I'm a hater for suggesting the sixth won't either. For the record, he won at LSU when everything was lined up. He didn't win at LSU his junior year when everything wasn't lined up, did he? He was average. When he had a great team his last year, everything lined up, he won. You think everything's lined up in Cincinnati? Arguably the worst owner, the worst front office, the worst roster. We don't know. We suspect it could be the worst coach. I don't know. Zach Taylor could be very good. I hope he is. I thought last year he showed some promise. I thought they got better. But just look at their schedule just next year. Bengals twice. Bengals have to face the Ravens twice. They're not close. Steelers twice. Browns twice. Eagles, Cowboys roster is much better. Chargers, Texans, Titans, all better. 11 games, they'll be an underdog. Maybe they'll win one. But are they going to win the remaining five? They're all favored with a rookie quarterback without an OTA and maybe down to preseason? It's not that I don't like him. He's a very good prospect. But be realistic here. It's the Bengals. This division now, I'll make an argument. Ravens, Steelers, Browns are the three most talented defensive rosters in the first three in the NFL right now. If you take every division, the first three teams, and you compiled the best defensive players, you can't tell me the Ravens, Browns, and Steelers wouldn't be it. You could make a Pro Bowl defensive team just on the Browns, the Ravens, and the Steelers. Just on those three. It's almost like I said yesterday. You could make a Pro Bowl roster in the NFC South just on the Saints, the Buccaneers, and the Falcons, and even throw in, by the way, Carolina. You could make a Pro Bowl offense just on that division that could rival any in football.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
One of the things I've tried not to engage in during this crisis is predicting when leagues are going to come back. I have my personal opinions on this, but I do believe I have some responsibility to be optimistic and hopeful. And frankly, I just don't know. Roger Goodell this morning was on a show, Get Up, on the other network. And I want to thank him. He gets a lot of heat. He just would not engage like the UConn president 2 days ago. The UConn president, fall sports are done, had to come back later in the day and say, yeah, I was just making that crap up. I don't have any information. I mean, that's literally what's happening. School presidents out there. Hey, it's over. It's April 22nd. The NFL's in September. Folks, the NBA just shut down the season 5 weeks ago. It seems like 6 months ago. It was March. We don't know anything. Here's Roger Goodell.
You got to make decisions with the facts that you have. People who project where we're going to be, 2 weeks from now, much less 3 months from now, it's speculative still. We don't know. And I think, I don't like to engage in the speculation business. I like to deal with facts.
Thank you. We just don't know. Yesterday, I'll give you a prime example. I refuse to speculate. The only thing I've ever said on this, when it first came out, Joey was here, I said, this is going to be a much longer story than people think. It's not going to be a three, four-month story. It's going to be a spring-summer story. It looks like now it's a spring-summer, fall-winter story. And the second thing I said is social distancing seems to work, although there's some pushback on that, but I think it matters, so let's all social distance. And I also say, hey, I wear masks now everywhere. I'm okay with it. I go jogging, I have a T-shirt, I pull it up, pull it down, whatever. But it's April 22nd. Stop trying to guess what's going to happen September 10th. We don't know what's going to happen a month from now. Yesterday, a story came out late yesterday in Santa Clara County in Los Angeles, north of Los Angeles, that a coroner said a man that passed away February 6th had COVID-19. Well, you don't catch it and die the next day. So that means mid-January, we know it was in the country. Mid-January. And I doubt the first person who had it died, because if you look at this, Joy and I have talked about this, half the people or more are asymptomatic or had mild symptoms. So I doubt the first person that got it passed away. And if he passed away on February 6th, he didn't get it February 5th. You get it, it takes a while, then there's symptoms, then you get sick, then you go to the hospital and hopefully overcome it. Mid-January, at the latest, he got it. The man who's deceased. Meaning it was here in January. And not just with him. We just don't know. We just don't have any idea. I've told you, December, January, in my town, everybody was getting sick, coughing, hot flashes, and achy. We all went to the doctor, and they said, you don't have the flu. You don't test for the flu. We're all like, we're sick. No, not at all. It was all over my town. So I don't know if that was COVID. It was just weird. But my doctor said, he goes, it was so weird in December and January here. Everybody was coming in coughing, hacking, and hot. They didn't have the flu. Nobody knows. I'm just telling you what my doctor told me. So I like that Roger Goodell, and I'm to the point now where one of the only other things I know is that strangely, bizarrely, and inexplicably, it doesn't hurt young people. I don't know why. It is punitive to older people, not to younger kids. And so if you have great lung capacity, no underlying health issues, under 24, you know, like a pro athlete, that could be the safest people. They're asymptomatic or very, very mild symptoms. So I tend to think if you can get stuff going in sports, especially two-person things, boxing, tennis, UFC, golf, NASCAR, I think you go for it. But I don't know anything. And Roger Goodell doesn't know anything. And it's okay to just acknowledge once in a while, I'm into data, I don't have any data. And when you have data with this thing, it changes every single day. I mean, every day I read a story. I read the New York Times every morning, the LA Times every morning. Every day there's something I'm like, oh, I'll tell you this. They're going to make movies about this and write books about this. And it's going to be, it's fascinating what they'll be saying in 2 years. Because I think there's going to be major surprises. I made a call yesterday to a friend. I said, can somebody explain to me how it's not tough on kids? Influenza is brutal on kids. Scary. Like, scary. This isn't. Can somebody explain that to me? I just don't get it. I don't understand that. So, they'll make a movie about that. But I love Roger Goodell saying, I don't know. UConn president is predicting fall sports are done. You've got to be kidding me. They may be, but you don't have any information on that. It's April 22nd. That's September 10th. And for the record, I think all these sports, I mean, they're all, I think the NFL says, all right, we're going to start October 10th. Well, that would be 6 months from now. So I think everybody's willing to move. The NFL may say, you know what? We're just going to move the season back a month. I think Goodell said it this morning. We will adjust to the virus. It will tell us what we can do.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So let's bring in the Clatster, lead college football guy for Fox Sports. So your last mock had only two quarterbacks in the first round, Burrow and Tua. This one has the Dolphins taking Justin Herbert at 18. What changed for you?
Well, I think that you have to understand that, like, mocks for me are equal parts my own evaluation and what I think is going to happen. So that's kind of a combination for me. Listen, if I was making the decision, I wouldn't draft Herbert in the first round. Having said that, I absolutely think he will get drafted in the first round.
Wow.
So I put him to the Dolphins at 18.
6'5", big arm, runs well, 4-point student. You got him. Where do you got him going to?
I have him 18. Going to 18. Miami at
okay.
18, right? I mean,
okay.
That's
right.
Here's the thing with Herbert. I love everything that you said, but skill sets don't necessarily equate to success in the National Football League. The bottom line in this league is that you've got to throw the football on time and on target, and most of the time those are anticipatory throws. That's the biggest area of struggle he has. He is a blunt force instrument at quarterback. He is not surgical. He makes the wrong decisions quite often, but he gets away with it at the college level because he's got such a talented arm. I don't think he's going to be afforded that opportunity when he gets to the NFL. I think he reminds me of Allen in Buffalo. If you like Allen in Buffalo, which I'm a bit skeptical of, then I think that you're going to love Herbert. But for me, I want guys that make much better decisions and pass the football rather than throw the football. You see, here's the difference, Colin. There's guys out there that are such talented throwers of the football, and that's all well and good. And you know what they do? They hypnotize people like you. But I want people that pass the football, okay? I want people that know how to attack the defense, anticipate throws, and pass the football with a great amount of efficiency.
Yeah, that sounds good until you need a howitzer, and you got Joe Burrow's arm, and I got a seed over there going 108 from Justin Herbert. I think arm strength matters still.
Did you watch last night the rerun of Super Bowl 50? Peyton Manning could not throw the football through a wet paper bag, and they won the Super Bowl.
I'm sorry.
When did arm strength equate to success in the NFL?
Peyton Manning.
Because if it did, Jeff George would still be in the league. Jamarcus Russell would still be in the league. Kyle Bowler would still be in the league, and they're not. You know why? Because it doesn't matter how far you throw it if there's no one there to catch it.
You can't use Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning's brain, if it was a person, would walk by Bill Gates' brain and say, talk to the hand, little brain. He's the smartest guy to ever play the position.
Exactly. The position is about decision-making. It's about being surgical in the way that you attack the defense. It's about a big brain. That's the point.
Okay, so I look at this. You know, you bang on the SEC all the time. It's very unfortunate.
Untrue.
All I see is a dozen SEC guys. Let's be honest. Let's be totally honest. Take out Ohio State. And the Big Ten's not even the same conference. I can take out Alabama. Hell, I got Georgia players, LSU players, Auburn players. Let's just admit it now. The SEC is easily the best conference based on your mock draft.
They're easily the most talented conference,
dang,
in particular at the top end. And I've said that for a long time. I understand that you get beat soundly in an argument, so you try to stir it up like that and say that I pound on the SEC. I pound on the middle and bottom of the SEC.
Well, the middle and bottom's terrible everywhere.
I give them a lot of credit. Listen, Alabama's about to have five, maybe six guys drafted in the first round. I believe in my last mock, because I moved Diggs up there to the 31st pick with San Francisco, the corner from Alabama. I've got six Bama guys going in the first round. I believe I've got three or four different LSU players going. There's no doubt that at the top end, and in particular when you're talking about the best three, maybe even include four and five schools in the SEC, that is where the NFL goes for their talent. And it's certainly going to be obvious tomorrow night on Thursday night. Top end of that conference, second to none, no question.
By the way, I'm going to throw a guy out. I love Andrew Thomas at Georgia.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because we're talking about this weight room guy in Iowa, and we're talking about this kid at Louisville who makes splash plays. And, of course, anybody on the offensive line from Bama gets love. Andrew Thomas at Georgia, I think he may have started as a freshman. He's big.
He did.
Yeah, like he was dominant early. You have him going – you have the Dolphins taking him at five. It's fascinating because – I think he may be the most under. I don't see him in anybody's top 10. I think he's. When I watch a lot of SEC football. He is a neutralizer, and he faced the best defensive ends in the country in that conference. What do you know about
the
what,
top? Yeah. Well, I think that all of the offensive linemen are the tackles are really good. I agree with you. I love Andrew Thomas's game. I think it's a bit short-sighted to just say worse from Iowa as a weight room guy when you look at his explosion and athleticism and what he can do. I mean, he ran 4.8 in the 40. He broad jumped 10 feet. I mean, he's not just a weight room warrior. I am a little concerned about the Louisville kid because there's some concerning medical information out there about him that teams are circling around right now, in particular with his knees. Andrew Thomas seems to be the safest pick because of all the things that you just mentioned. And I love him. I really do, and which is why I moved him up. And also remember, Colin, just in the nature of this draft, as we sit here and we think about players and we're debating whether you're going to take a risk or not take a risk on players, this is going to be the year where the least amount of risks are taken by these teams because they don't have the information. And this is the important point, you cannot have a robust discussion on a Zoom conference call. I mean, everybody out there is nodding their head like, yep, we all just sit there staring into our cameras and you can't hear anybody unless you're the only one speaking. And there's not a robust discussion whatsoever. So what you're going to have is that no one's going to be able to pound the table and say, no, don't worry. I've checked out his medical if I'm the doctor, or I've broken down the tape. This is the way that I, see some of the mistakes that he made on the field. This is what I dug into as far as the character concerns that he has. You're not going to have that robust discussion. So let's get back to your point. Andrew Thomas, probably the safest offensive tackle, and that's why I moved him up as the first offensive tackle off the board to a team that desperately needs one, and Andrew and the Miami Dolphins.
Here's an interesting one. Now, you have Joe Burrow going one to the Bengals, and you have the next quarterback taken, the Chargers at 6 to Tua. here's what's really interesting. I thought about this last night. Now, I think the Chargers move up to get Justin Herbert, but here's where I could possibly be way wrong. Tua, because he played at Bama and because of the hip, is kind of a star. We don't even use his last name. We just call him Tua. And that's what we do with stars. Cher, LeBron. Tua is becoming a star. Part of controversy equals star. What do the Chargers need? They need stars. So they have Tyrod Taylor, who they've told me, listen, we're starting him this year. With no OTAs or camp, and because of the hip, the Chargers can take Tua. It's actually an advantage because they can just say, he's not ready to play. But if for a team that's the number two, I would say the number three football team in L.A. behind the Rams and USC, that Tua does bring a little bit of a rock star quality. I mean, I want to go see him and play. He has a Baker Mayfield thing. I have to watch him play. I got to see if he busts or not. This Tua thing, and by the way, Joel, the Chargers are good enough that if they miss on Tua, they could still win 10 games next year. So do you believe the Chargers like Tua better than Herbert?
Well, I think that there's a split in most rooms after you get done with the discussion of Joe Burrow. I think there are teams that would draft Tua and they would take the risk on the injuries. There are teams that like Justin Herbert because he's a bit of the safer pick, even though he clearly has some elements of his game that don't translate to the NFL. So I think it's going to be team specific. If it was me, I would be more on the take the chance on Tua because of all the reasons that I was talking about earlier when we were talking about quarterback play. He makes great decisions. He throws the football on time and on target. He is quick and explosive with his release. The only thing that I question about his game is that he thinks he's more elusive than he is. So, Colin, he gets himself into trouble not because he holds the ball due to the fact that he doesn't know where to go with it. He holds it because he thinks he can evade, and yet he can't evade completely. So he gets caught up on and rolled up on, and that's how he hurt both of his ankles and ultimately fractured his hip. If he can change that element of his game, I love this pick, and you would have more of a robust conversation about he or Joe Burrow at the top. So for me, I would absolutely take that risk, even if I was maybe Miami, but I think he fits better for some of the reasons that you said with San Diego. They don't have to throw him out there right away. They can let him heal, let him develop a little bit. They can get a little bit of buzz, in particular with an organization that desperately needs it in this town moving into a new building. And he certainly, like you said, has some of that star power.
By the way, you have A.J. Epinesa for the Iowa Hawkeyes dropping to 32.
By the way, just because he's from Iowa can mispronounce his name.
No,
it's Epinesa. Put some respect on the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Okay. That's a very fine program. Every time they beat Northeast Iowa, I sit and cheer.
You're the worst.
So I did have an executive tell me in about a month ago, they're like, he's not that athletic. He's not.
But he's really strong at the point of attack.
Well,
here's the thing: is he's scheme diverse. He can play in a 3-4 or a 4-3 as a defensive end. He's highly productive. He's high character. He's more athletic than you think. I understand that's what a GM said, but remember now, if you just go back to his high school days, he was a state champ in the discus. He set state records.
What state?
1,000 points on the hardwood as a basketball player.
What state?
And he's highly productive getting to the quarterback. He's got really strong hands and he's good at the point of attack.
Okay, Ty. What state was he a good basketball player?
Iowa.
Wow. What does that mean? They're not even as good as Indiana in basketball. That means nothing. He threw a javelin in Iowa. That doesn't mean anything.
And you grew up in the state of Washington. Right?
I'm not getting drafted in the first round, Klatt. Hey, he was the second in the state and throwing a skinny pole down the street in Iowa. That doesn't mean anything to me.
The pole is a javelin. I said discus.
Okay, hold on. Joel Klatt has his mock draft on FoxSports.com and at NFL on Fox. He's with Glazer and Schrager tomorrow, 8 Eastern. All brought to you by Lowe's. You're going to have a lot of fun on that. I'll be listening, Klatster, and continue. Your family is hopefully safe. I know they are. We talk.
Yes.
And
hey, real quickly, a guy that keep your eye on, guys love him, Brandon Ayuk, the wide receiver from Arizona State.
Yep. I have him going to Tennessee. Where do you have him going?
I have him going to Philadelphia with the 21st pick. I think Doug Peterson is going to love that guy.
Good talking to you.
You as well. Stop bagging on Iowa.
No, that's fine state. I fly over it regularly. It is a fine state. It is full
of... You are the worst.
Just joking.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
By and large, I get your reaction. You, the consumer, you, the sports fan. I get your reaction. When you're mad, I get it. When you're happy, I get it. When you're puzzled, I get it. There is one reaction you sports fans have... And Uncle Colin does not get. Because it feels like to me it's obvious. And I'm going to tell you a little story. It'll be short. Here's my story. The greater position you have in life, your actions have to change. And that's the end of my story. When Michael Jordan and Dennis Rodman played together, Rodman could be a weirdo, controversial, and a goof. Michael Jordan was the face of the league. He was representing Nike and a multi-million dollar contract. You lose those contracts from the Nikes. You lose those contracts from big shoe companies and big brands if you do something to damage them. Sports fans always argue that. It doesn't matter that Baker Mayfield got in a police video. No. He's going to be a franchise quarterback. Of course it matters. If he was a middle linebacker, maybe not. The greater job you have, and there's no greater job in the NFL than quarterback, the more responsibility you have. I am not saying bad behavior by a wide receiver is encouraged, but Patrick Mahomes, thank God, and I've seen him twice publicly, is a great kid and stays out of trouble. Thank God. Because in recent years, not all the Chiefs have. So, and I bring this up because John Lynch, the GM of the Niners, this is pretty remarkable, admitted this week, yeah, we looked around to moving off Jimmy Garoppolo.
When you're talking about one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time with Tom Brady, of course you're going to have some internal discussion. And then you hear rumors that, hey, he'd like to come home, that kind of thing. But within a day or two, Kyle and I looked at each other and said, you know what? We really like what we have in Jimmy. We love everything that he brings, and we really believe it's a long-term answer. And so I would tell you we're more convicted than ever about who our quarterback is in Jimmy Garoppolo.
Now think about that. He was 21-5 as a starter and got you a lead in the first year starting in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl against the great Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And they considered trading him for a 43-year-old quarterback with like a year left, 2 years left. Why? Because the greater position you have, actions are more important and have to change. Jimmy Garoppolo, they don't love his judgment. The dinner with a porn star. Stop. It mattered. It mattered. All the bad picks in weird times. Judgment. Porn star dinner. Judgment. His injury in San Francisco when he could have run out of bounds. He put his shoulder down. Dumb. You do not consider trading a 21-5 quarterback that gets you a lead against Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl entering the fourth quarter. They don't love his judgment. That's it. It's not his arm. It's good. It's not his mobility. It's fine. It's not that he can't win. He does. Niners haven't won with Shanahan except him. Why? They don't love his judgment. Folks, this is not complicated. The two quarterbacks in the NFL who are really talented, have really good weapons, and throw a ton of picks are Baker Mayfield and Jameis Winston. What about Sam Darnold? He doesn't have a ton of weapons. He throws out of desperation. Baker never throws out of desperation. Jameis ain't throwing out of desperation. He's got open guys. He's got open guys. Baker and Jameis. How was their off-field behavior in college? Awful, stupid, dumb. Off-field dumb is on-field bad judgment. Off-field dumb is on-field sometimes dumb. Johnny Manziel, out of the league. By the way, I questioned Jameis. I questioned Baker. I questioned Johnny Manziel. This is what I don't get with sports fans. It matters. They're quarterbacks. It's why I rip quarterbacks to shreds if they do off-field stuff. It's why I crushed Manziel. And I crushed Baker. And I ripped Jameis. It matters. You and I can disagree on everything. And the only thing I can think of why fans, and I think a lot of you do, but why a lot of fans don't. I've gone to Twitter and I've looked at people who don't understand off-field stuff, bad judgment. I mean, think about this. If you're doing dumb stuff all the time away from work, do I think you suddenly walk through the doors of work and you have great judgment? Dumb guy Saturday night at a party is dumb guy at work on Tuesday. So the whole thing with Jimmy Garoppolo is, yes, he's a quarterback. Porn star dinner. Dumb. Beverly Hills. Public. Dumb. What are you doing? I'm not saying, no, I have nothing against adult film stars. They are just working their way to college. I don't care. I'm not a moralist. Pornography, that kind of stuff, adult content. Yeah, I've heard it's fascinating. The point is, I'm not against it. I'm against it in public. At dinner, Beverly Hills, at a patio, I can see you at a camera. So it's just the one part. The fact that they're acknowledging, you know, the Jimmy Garoppolo, we thought about it. 21-5, Super Bowl, first year as a starter, led Mahomes in the fourth. Yeah, we thought about moving him. I think it's a judgment thing with Jimmy. And I like him. But sometimes he does stuff, and I'm like, Jimmy, no. You're a franchise quarterback. What are you doing? It's different. That's why Rodman could be a goof, and MJ was the face of the league. I mean, you saw the Last Dance. Joe, you watched that, right? Yeah. Did everybody notice that Michael Jordan was not the typical player when David Stern came in? Like, even when he was young, David Stern hi, Michael, how are you? David Stern, about an hour in, went, okay, this is the face of the league. And Michael had a relationship with David Stern. And, I mean, you could tell. It was a business relationship. Stern totally got the value of Michael, and Michael totally understood. He could sense how valuable he was to David Stern. That's not the way David Stern treated other players.
Well, you could see that with Michael in the Last Dance when he first met up with his teammates and was talking about going into that room and realized he couldn't be in there and removed himself from that right away.
Yes, like he knew. He goes, I'm going to get in trouble if I got to get out of the room. It just, when it comes to quarterbacks, I'm brutal, I'm tough, I'm critical. I'm going to count all their off-field dumb stuff in college. That's why I love Tua. No problems. Justin Herbert, 4-point student. All these quarterbacks, you know, by Joe Burrow, I think he's a good prospect. He got no baggage. I don't like him as much as everybody else, but they're all good, and I think they'll all work because they've shown maturity.